What's up, everyone? It's Roger and James here from the Disc Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about games because it's been a little bit quiet this week because we've got New York Toy Fair kicking off this week. So kind of all the companies have been being a little bit quiet on the merchandise side. But that didn't stop Bob Iger dropping quite quickly one of the biggest own goals during an investor call where you've been talking a lot about Disney Plus, which, side plug note, go check out our What's on Disney Plus podcast, which is going to be up on Tuesday, where we go into a lot of detail about all of that stuff. That was a kind of quite a long episode. There's lots of stuff to check out there. But he talked about video games, and boy, did he kind of, just kind of not only dunked on video games, but pretty much just dumped all over Disney Infinity and a whole load of other stuff.
Yeah, I haven't read the exact quotes.
Yeah, I was just going to bring it up.
But yeah, it was very much a tone deaf presentation by Mr. Iger. I guess he felt safe doing it because Disney's not actually making games anymore.
Yeah.
And they can, let's see.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, that's it. I'll just bring it up here now. Right, okay, so I've got the quote here now. Right, so in the video game business, we are obviously mindful of the size of the business. Over the years, as you know, we've tried our hand at self-publishing. We've brought companies, we've sold companies, we've brought developers, we've closed developers. We found over the years that we haven't been particularly good at the self-publishing side, but we've been great at the licensing side, which obviously doesn't require that much allocation of capital. Since we're allocating capital in other directions, even though we have the ability to allocate the capital, we can decide what the best place for us to space is licensing and not publishing, aka money. We've had a good relationship with those licenses, notably EA and their relationship on the Star Wars properties. We're going to continue to stay on that side of the business and put our capital elsewhere. We're going to we're good at making movies and television shows and theme park attractions and cruise ships and the like, but we've just never managed to demonstrate much skill on the publishing side of games. It's like, whoop.
Yeah. So it's funny because it's the second part of that I've heard the most about, which is the EA part. It just amuses me a lot because people are like, "What? How can he think that EA is doing an okay job of this?" And it's like, well, he has to say that EA, no matter what he actually thinks, and I don't know, he might actually think that EA is doing a fantastic job, but I'd have to assume he's not because he has to have known about the backlash against Battlefront 2 and the loot boxes and all that. But since they still are under exclusive contract, since they still are producing another game later this year, as you know, they say they are. We haven't seen anything for it, but we are told there's a game. If they were to say, if he or anybody from Disney were to say, no, we have lost faith in EA and their ability to publish Star Wars or Marvel games or whatever, the shareholders would riot. They would cannibalize sales of their own games because if the company is coming out and saying we have no faith in the EA product, why would I possibly want to buy that? If the company that is endorsing the game says, no, we're not going to endorse it. It's like, what was it? Shia LaBeouf coming out and talking about Indiana Jones 5 and saying, this movie is horrible. It's like, well, now I'm not going to watch it at all.
No, but EA had their own financial results and they were talking about how sales are down and they were even blaming things like single-player games and, the rise of single-player games of, well, you guys were the ones telling us when they were dead years ago. No, you've been, your EA hard kind of the butt of all jokes for gaming because they focused on the microtransactions. They went after the cheap money, and it backfired. Every other company has been up in their game, and EA have been getting slacker, and okay, they put out probably a decent battle royale, the game this week, Apex Legends. Yeah, it's going to be that situation of Disney can't come out and just say, oh no, EA are doing an awful job and we can't wait to get the license off them. No, they're going to say, yeah, it's fine, but don't worry, I've got more stuff underneath. You know, that side of things caught a lot of attention because they're almost like, well, no, Bob Iger was never going to say anything bad against EA. They could still have another 4 years left. You've got a game coming out this year. They can't do that. They just signaled them out because I think it was like, yeah, we do like what we're doing with EA.
Yeah, they have to say that. And not just for, the purpose of sales. They can literally be sued by stakeholders and by probably EA itself for not supporting the product, for undermining sales of their own product. So we don't know what they actually think. Like I said earlier, Bob Iger could totally fully believe that EA is doing an amazing job with the license. But I think probably not. I think that they have seen the backlash against Battlefront 2. They've seen what it has done to the sales. They've seen how it has lost to the competition. And if they're not looking at least opening the license up once the exclusivity contract is over, I don't know what they don't have any idea of what's going on. They just admitted they have no idea what's going on in video games. But I think at the very least, the shareholders would go, this isn't working, do something different.
I mean, it was very good in that conference call because I was listening along live because I was doing lots of notes with like Disney Plus, and this question came up about video games, and it's that kind of thing like, oh, I'm glad someone's actually asked this because obviously we're a lot more interested in it, but it is, and they were talking this whole thing about them not mastering it and then them saying, going, we're not very good at it. And it's like, it's very open. You don't see them, and it's basically them going, we can put loads of money into this, but we can't guarantee, we don't get enough back, or they make too many bad mistakes. It's like, yeah, we can build cruise ships and we can build theme parks and we can create movies, but we can't make video games. And I was like, wow, it's just such just so open for an entertainment company to just be along the lines of, we don't get it. We're just going to get people to do it for us because we don't know what we're doing. And that's what that sounds to me like. But then also, I can't feel bad for everyone that had been working for them that's now gone. They're going, you lot weren't very good. It's like, wow, that's really just like, that's just not nice.
No, it was not a good way of phrasing it. And a lot of it was them shifting the blame over to, say, the Avalanche team and whatnot. Yeah. And I think, again, they kind of have to say stuff like that to appease the stakeholders. Again, it wasn't our fault. It was, over here. And really what it was is they had unrealistic expectations for what they could expect on a return on investment. However, they're not wrong in regards to the fact that it's much more financially safe for them to license out the contract to other companies like EA rather than investing all the capital in development, because there is a lot of money that goes into developing top tier quality games. And when you look at it, they can say, all right, we can make $130 million in sales on product A and product B. If we make product A ourselves, that means a net profit of $30 million. If we have product B made by EA or Activision or whoever, okay, sure, they take their cut, but we're investing less into it, so our net profit ends up being 60 or 70 million. And you go, which one am I going to invest in? I'm going to invest in the one that gets me a better ROI. So,
but also, it's not even that, but it's the fact of it's that thing they could go look at the other way. A, they do themselves 30 million in, option B, 20 million, but we don't have to spend any money and there's no risk. And it's that thing of, but you do B 10 times, that's the difference, where you suddenly have to invest so much more. You look at, how many games we've got in development. We've got Jedi Fallen Order, we've got the Avengers game, we've got the Marvel Ultimate Alliance, we've probably got some other Disney titles and stuff in the line. The fact they're going out outsourcing for all the mobile stuff, they're not even looking to do anything internal anymore, and they're selling off the games that are making money are being sold off. It just really came out of left field. I was not expecting that kind of comment about them just saying, we're not very good at it. And it was like, don't hear Disney, especially a top end Disney person, just being quite open about just saying, we're not very good at it.
I appreciate the honesty, but it was definitely an odd, unexpected statement. But you know, Disney can't be the masters of everything. And I think they've just kind of gone, the video game space is so different from the other spaces that they've worked in, the theme parks, the movies, licensing, that yeah, it would be almost irrational to think that they would be good at it without investing a ton of money, yeah. Which again brings us back to point A.
I think the other trouble as well with video games is Disney can't keep remaking classics. They can't churn out the same story and just keep doing it. Video games evolve much faster and much stronger than, you know, what you put out. Like, you know, they can't just bring out a remake of, you know, they tried it. You can't just bring out, oh, well, that game was really popular in 1992. Let's remake it and just make it a bit more shiny. It doesn't, you have to do, yeah, Resident Evil being a new game. You know, they, yeah, they took something old, but they had to bring it right up to standard. And Disney aren't willing to do that. I mean, I saw so many articles about, you know, Disney and people going, they've made great games like Epic Mickey and games on the Super Nintendo and Mega. So I go, if you're having to pull games from 20, 30 years ago, that's not a great thing. You know, you if you turn around and go, well, what games came out 5 years ago that were amazing, that's, you know, we can't be looking back at Super Nintendo Mega Drive era of when Disney games were at a peak. It's that's a long time ago. I wish they did more in the house, but at the same time, let's be honest, do you not think that the games that have been made by in you know, Insomniac, Capcom, Square Enix, you know, EA, these games are much higher quality than Disney themselves can do. And Disney Infinity was great, but I can't help but feel like if they gave that to you know, Activision, it probably would be a bigger game.
I hope they don't give it to Activision. No. But yeah, I sorry not to get too much of a tangent. Yeah. EA gets a lot of well-deserved flack. Absolutely well-deserved. They are, they've done a lot of damage to the industry. But in my mind, Activision has been one of the worst culprits in the entire industry. Yeah. And the thing is, they're one of the biggest, if not the biggest in the industry. So when that exclusivity for Star Wars comes to an end, I fully expect Activision will be one of the top choices for getting a new title. But sorry, I had to tangent that. I really, really strongly dislike it. Activision a lot. It eclipses my dislike for EA.
I think because I'm not a PC, a lot of the stuff like with Blizzard, I don't really pay a lot of attention to.
It's not even that. Guitar Hero, Skylanders, Call of Duty, all of these franchises that they are just, they milk them for all that they're worth. They monetize them to heck. They were monetizing the heck out of Guitar Hero and Skylanders long before the loot box crises even happened. Call of Duty had loot boxes long before most games did. I know it's still a very popular series. It's still going strong, but they buy up franchises and they run them into the ground. And yeah, you mentioned Blizzard. That also brings up Warcraft, Diablo, Destiny with Bungie, all this stuff. And it's just the things that they have done to the titles under their control are abhorrent. And that's not to take any responsibility from EA away. What they've done to the BioWare titles is awful. What they've done to several of their other titles is horrific. But sorry, tangent has nothing to do with Disney. I just wanted to rant that out.
Yeah, well, it's. I mean, Activision made a lot of Marvel games, so they have bits and pieces. And unsurprisingly enough, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which was an Activision series, is now gone to a different developer. I'm jumping over to different companies and stuff. I think as gamers, we are getting better quality games because of it. It's just, I just really hope that Disney can eventually get to that thing of maybe letting a little team like Marvel Games have less other Disney games and a Star Wars games, and a little bit more continuity going on between those little divisions. I'm hoping we see a lot more of that, because at the minute Disney games are, I'd say they're actually probably, I know we've got Kingdom Hearts 3 and I'm really enjoying that at the minute, just got to the Frozen World last night, so really enjoying playing that, but it's a little bit like there's so much Disney out there and they've just left it. There's just nothing happening. I mean, we don't know what's coming up in the future, but they aren't hitting the right point with, you know, they got mobile games, but they're just not hitting it, and they just don't get it. And it's so frustrating because they could make so much money with the right idea and also new ideas. You know, there's no reason why Disney couldn't bankroll major titles of and be coming out with first major title things like Nintendo or God of War or something like that if they were winning. But until the management changes, until some people get into the top there that understand games that because they play them and they've grown up with them. Because Bob's, you know, he's creeping up to 70, maybe doesn't have that connection to games the same way that maybe if you put a 40-year-old executive in there, is going to look at it slightly different. I think that's going to be the key thing. I don't think we're going to see a big difference for at least 5-10 years.
That might be optimistic on the time scale as well. I think it is largely a generational thing because even now, like my parents, I can't talk to them about video gaming at all. Even like inferring that I still enjoy video games, they're like, you're an adult now. You're supposed to do adult things. I'm like, yeah, I read comics and I play video games. Thus, those are now adult things because I'm an adult doing those things. But they're very much in that mindset of these are childish things. These are things for children. And they're hardly alone in that perspective.
My dad doesn't.
So, I mean, and I'm sure that most of our listeners could also be like, oh, yeah, my parents are totally, if not even that, you know, Disney. Just Disney in general. Why do you go to Walt Disney World? So I mean, like,
yeah,
it's a childish thing. I'm like, yeah, but I enjoy it. So, and I can afford it. So who cares?
Go back to model trains.
I wish my dad did model trains. That would at least be like normal, but still, you know, but it is a generational thing. And like you said, once the next generation of people start coming in, the people who grew up playing Super Mario World or Atari 2600 games or, you know, what is the name? Commodore 64 games, stuff like that. They'll probably start having more of an appreciation for the video game market. And one other thought, which is kind of going back to something you said earlier, I get the impression that Disney kind of saw the mobile market as like the salvation for themselves because relatively speaking, mobile games are cheap to make compared to other video games, definitely compared to movies. And we had that flood of mobile games several years ago, all the Marvel games, all the Disney games, all the Star Wars games. And now so few of them are left. I mean, there were several stories this past week of
them closing. You say about the flood of Disney own brand inbuilt games, the avalanche of them coming. And then we've had the dam going and them all just washing away because they've all been let go because they're not bringing, because the trouble is they released so many mobile games. The mobile market has changed. People massively. The market has changed a lot. They've started outsourcing to outside companies because, and again, it's better to have 4 titles doing well than 15 titles doing poorly. They didn't advertise them. They didn't promote them. Disney Emoji Blitz was like the only real one that was internal that they were kind of promoting. And then they've sold that on to a different company, Jam City. They looked to mobile rather than console because they thought console's going, we'll make more money on mobile. And yeah, that didn't work either because the mobile market changed. Kids are playing mobile, but they're not playing. That's all shifted. That's not quite as hot as it once was.
Like they're playing Fortnite. I mean, they're playing Fortnite mobile or PUBG mobile or Minecraft mobile. That's the even mobile games have turned into just mini consoles. Not to be completely negative, though, we should point out that Frozen Free Fall, the little game that could, had 80 new levels come out. Did I read that right? 80 new levels.
I know. It's that kind of thing of like, it's really one of those really weird stories because whenever that gets an update and I share it, it always gets a lot of really strong reviews. People are still playing it. That and even Maleficent Free Fall is still getting updates. Those two games are just, I'm surprised they're not sold them on because those games still seem to be going. In some way, it's good. I mean, it's great to see them going, but also every time I write a story about, or do a video about a game closing, I just keep going, remember not to spend too much money in these things. Remember that they're disposable. Do not, this is not, you know, I actually made an entire video about me ranting about Disney Magic Kingdoms, and in the end I was just like, no, I'm not putting this up. I'll leave it for the podcast, because that event, that tower event last week that ended, I literally, you go on the Facebook groups, they are, there's blood in the water at this precise minute, because they really messed up last week. Game lost.
I have to admit, I have not read much of what's gone on in Disney Magic Kingdom. I quit, was it right before the Incredibles 2 event? You know, right around that point, maybe a little bit before. I did see they had a Princess and the Frog update coming. And I heard about the tower event, but I did not realize it was this. Well, I guess I'm going to have to go and read about it, because I don't know anything about this tower event. I have no idea.
Well, all it was what's going on. It was this typical tower event where you have to get so many points, and it's like broken down into three categories, and you had to get so many event currencies to get items. And then at the end of it, you were trying to get the cricket for Mulan, right? And then they had outfits and stuff for Mulan as well. And along the way, you could unlock like Mulan and Mrs. Incredible and Lilo's sister and a few other bits and pieces along the way. And you had to send off the characters to go and do the challenge the tower every 2 hours. And you had to get cookies to kind of refresh them, and you could send away different characters. But the event currencies were just so low that I got into the third category, and I'm going, I worked, I was like, well, I need like 20,000 event categories. And based on and it's like, I literally got the calculator out and was like, well, based on every 2 hours, it's like, yeah, a bar. And yeah, you get the odd person going, oh, well, I did that. Okay. I've done it. And like, people are going, no, but I have to sleep. I have to go to school or work. And I have, you know, I can't be getting up every 2 hours through the middle of the night to go and check on a mobile game. It was like, it got to that. So many people did not get it. And people in like, you know, you had obviously the leaderboards, and they're going, people are going like, you know, in the high 40s going, I didn't get it. I didn't finish it. If you're in, and it's like, how many people managed it? I worked out how many gems I'd needed to have done it. And I got to level 3 and just stopped. And I thought, oh, I'll just keep collecting the currencies. Just get some gems. Took out 10,000 currencies at the end, and I got a gem. A single gem as a conversion. I'm just sitting there going, this was... they really just tried scrolling down too much on trying to get you to pay for gems. I don't think it worked. Looking at the forums, because there's thousands of people in there, and it's not like... Oh, I got, you know, it's like, oh, I got it. I didn't. It was like, didn't. One person goes, well, I did all right. You guys need to try a bit harder. Didn't kind of thing. And going, whoa, there's a lot more. And then you go on Facebook and Twitter or Instagram, and every comment on their page was, this is too hard. I can't get it. And it's like, yeah, it wasn't like 50-50. This is like 90% people did not manage to fill this event. And it's like, it feels like they went really too hard on like trying to make it too difficult to get these characters to get people to spend money. And I don't think it worked. I think they went way too hard on the microtransactions.
Yeah. It's always going to be a balancing act for the publishers. They've got to make money, obviously. Otherwise they don't print anything, but they have to find that balance between providing a value for the people who are willing to spend and still giving people who don't spend something to work toward and feel they can accomplish. And that might be a completely different goal. There might be a very clearly delineated line, which is the whales and the krakens will get this character if they, you know, put a little bit of effort in or throw a lot of money at it. But if you're not willing to throw money, there is this character right here, which is totally achievable with a moderate amount of work. And that's what you can, and it's not stated that way, but you can normally, you know, read between the lines and go, these are the goals. And it sounds like to me, because obviously I didn't play this at all, but it sounds like to me that they missed that free to play goal completely.
The thing is, it's like if you were a new player, you might have been able to get a couple of characters and not gone for the big one, and you probably would have left feeling like, okay, I got a couple of characters out of that event or a couple of attractions, okay. But for like me that already had all those characters, it's like I spent like weeks trying to get this free character, and it was like I wasn't even close. I was like, no. And it was sort of like going, this is ridiculous. This is like, I'm checking every 2 hours while I'm awake, and I'm like going, it shouldn't be this difficult. I'm willing, you know, if I'm checking in 6 times to 7 times a day and I still can't get it, and it's like, okay, it's like they could have, that character could have, should have been brought forward. I understand the costumes. I could see, like, oh, well, you want to get some money for the bundles and stuff, but it was like the main character you were selling as this event for what everyone was working towards was not achievable on for most of the people. And that's just, yeah, okay, you want to put it behind a loot box later down the line. It's like that annoying thing of going, you know, I spent all that. It's like, it was pointless. At least I know, like, with this Princess and the Frog event coming up, you know, you get to the end of it and you go, if I don't get the main villain or I don't get the last one, it's like, well, I got 3 or 4 characters and I paid for it. And, you know, I'll buy the bundles, but I didn't get the last character. Okay, I got everything else. This was like, no, I ended up doing that entire event and I walked away with nothing more than I'd had before. And that's not really a good idea. So, you know, and I'm an established player for playing for years, and I literally walked away from that going, I got nothing out of that event at all.
And the real question now will be if Gameloft takes the feedback into consideration, adjusts the future events, including whatever the Princess and the Frog will be, and makes it more reasonable, or if they're just like, the game's in a death spiral, let's make as much money as we can before it inevitably shuts down. I have to admit, again, having not played it in quite some time, the writing was on the wall when I quit that the game was starting to enter the death spiral. So I don't want it to do that. Obviously, I really enjoyed my time with the game. I never want to encourage a game to be delisted or decontinued or any of that. But that was my impression, was that it is going to be increasingly desperate in its attempts to get money from people. So this might be a fluke. It might also be an indicator of what's coming up.
It's interesting because, I mean, I do think that the game seems to be in a much more healthier state of the updates and what they're doing to it. I mean, I've been playing a lot of Disney Heroes Battle Mode, which I've been enjoying a little bit. But the microtransactions and that are way worse than in the other ones. But I'm just like, no, I'm not spending any money on this. But, like, when they introduce a new character, they don't seem to be able to get that same buzz. They don't seem to be able to get that same hype into going into events and stuff. They haven't seen to have got that same magic. I think Disney Magic Kingdoms has got that thing of these events, and these they seem to bring people in when they have that content. It's much more, it is working for them. And I wish Disney the other games like Emoji Blitz and Battle Hero Modes was able to draw on that a bit more. I do think Magic Kingdoms have got something with the way that they're doing this content upgrades. I think that works. And I wish the other ones did it, but, you know, obviously we'll find out in the long run.
Disney Emoji Blitz is the weird one for me because, like, I don't know how that game makes money, but at the same time, it's also one of the only games that has merchandise attached to it. So it's weird. It's
obviously, huh? Zumzums.
And Zumzums. But the Zumzums came before the game, and the game came after them, whereas Disney Emoji Blitz, they built it. And then after a little while, like, what? That's a little Simba, like, pillow that looks like the Emoji Blitz Simba. And there's Mickey, and there's actual merchandise that has come out of this game. And I'd be hard pressed to think of, like, more than 2 other Disney games that have legitimate merchandise in Disney World that come from the games. And just like, I get it though, because emojis are kind of universal at the moment, so you don't have to know it comes from a game. But it's like somehow this game is maintaining it. I don't know how it makes money. There's almost no incentive to spend money in that game, but it's getting constant updates.
Yeah, maybe it's adverts or something. I don't know. But the only thing that gets me with Emoji Blitz is they'll be like, we are bringing this character in. And you go and log into it. It's like, oh, that was 2 days ago. You've missed it. It's like, oh, okay. It's like, it's like, we brought all the Kingdom Hearts stuff in. And I went in, it looks like it's already gone. They moved on to the next bundle. It's like, you're not really kind of, it's got so fast that if you're not on it in within, like, that afternoon, it's gone.
The good news is most of those characters just end up into the silver and gold boxes anyway, like, almost immediately after, except for the purple border ones or the villain ones. What is something? It's been a while since I played, but yeah, I don't know. The Disney Emoji Blitz, they have the Kingdom Hearts characters in it, but the event's over, so have fun with that.
Right, on to our last topic for the day. And this one is kind of the red pill to the blue pill, or the anti-story of what we were talking about with Bob Iger, of 21st Century Fox's Foxnet announced a development fund for indie games. And they are planning on releasing indie games that maybe don't get a lot. I think Aetherburn is going to be the first one. It's a really odd, like, dream title that's going to be out on Xbox One, PlayStation, PC, and Nintendo Switch. Looks a bit weird, looks a bit funky. And it's like this really weird thing of, like, they've come out and go, well, basically going, well, we're going to, I looked at this along the lines of, oh, say, so you're going to be publishing indie titles to 21st Century Fox. And I'm just sitting there just thinking, okay, but you're about to be taken over by Disney in the next, like, few weeks. This just, I just does not feel like this is going to end very well. Of, like, Foxnets are trying to become a major, you know, they got mobile titles, they've got AAA games, they're buying studios, they're buying developers, now they're going after indies. So you guys are doing everything that Disney can't do, and you've not really got the, you know, they've not been running long enough to have the foresight to do this. And this is a really odd one. Foxnet's Twitter page took off their name, and it's just like two dashes. And I was, it's just like, I just don't, this is either going to go really well, and this could be the renaissance that rebuilds Disney's gaming division, or it's going to, it's just odd, very odd.
I'm taking a slightly different view on that, which is, I'm kind of reading this as Foxnet is expecting to split off and be their own company, not under Fox, not under Disney. They're just going to be a gaming development company off on their own. I don't really have anything to base it on. It's just kind of an impression I'm getting. But yeah, I feel like this move by them is kind of an attempt to shore things up, because their own history of releases isn't that great. None of their releases that I'm aware of have particularly good reviews. They did do Marvel Strike Force, which, not to bring us back to our previous conversation, has had its share of controversies in the mobile market. They had, what, the Planet of the Apes VR game? Was that them?
Yeah, but they also deal with they're also kind of the heads of the mobile titles, things like Family Guy, Simpsons. But they're, again, they're in charge of them, but they're being done by things like Tiny Company, Jam City. I think EA make the Simpsons game, like the Alien Blackout game. But they're all becoming like a publisher, because they're getting studios and other companies, and they're buying stuff up and releasing stuff through them. It's a bit like the Disney Interactive thing, where somebody else makes it and they go kind of go through them. So they're not necessarily, I don't think, not everything is internal. Things are also being externally and then released through them. I don't know. It just, I'm watching it and I'm going, you guys are getting, you know, is this going to become Fox Games? But then I don't even know. I don't even think Fox Gate is going to mean the same in a few months. But on one hand, it would be good for them to have like that Marvel Games unit for Fox titles. So the Fox brands, it would make sense for them to have thing. But yeah, this indie scene thing, like you say, it could be that Disney are going to sell the whole company off. But then at which point then they lose access to their franchises. They're making an Avatar game and some other bits and pieces. Very strange. And an Aliens game.
Yeah, but they wouldn't lose access to the games. They would just work on a contract basis instead of a we own you basis. And I don't know. I think the feeling I get from that is this feels like a move of Foxnet trying to shore up their own resources to establish a base that they can rely on, kind of like Valve with Steam on PC. You know, when Steam first came out, it was really just a platform for their own games and then bring some other games onto it as well. And it was kind of like a distribution platform. And now it's, of course, turned into its own thing, and Valve doesn't make games at all anymore. And I could see Foxnet kind of being like, we'll be a publisher. Excuse me.
It's an odd one. You know, like I said, they have got an Aliens console game in development, they've got an Avatar video game in development, and they've also got all their mobile slate, and they're working on other projects as well. But it just, I I think to have this announcement the same week that Bob Iger said, well, that is, that's not a very good, you know, if you're, if I was at Foxnet now and I would just heard what Bob Iger just said, and this company's about to buy your games company out.
It's not, it's just the latest piece of evidence for any gaming company that would work directly for Disney. You don't need Bob Iger to come out and say we're bad with video games. Their track record speaks for itself. It is a history of studio closures for at least a decade. Yeah. And despite what their track record with games might be, Foxnet is probably not run by stupid people. And yeah, they can probably go, it's just a matter of time before Disney closes us up too. So let's establish something that we can rely on for ourselves. Either we can split off like in a joint venture, or Disney shuts us down and we immediately reopen with our own studio and our, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. They have got, because there's not even that Fox Next, I think they brought like Iron Studios. There's a few things that they've been working on. I'm wondering as well with some of these mobile titles, whether or not they will get, you know, because things like Futurama game, that's not been updated in a while. There's a few of these.
That was the company that did Marvel Avengers Academy.
Yeah,
which just got canceled as well. So it wouldn't surprise me if that particular company, TinyCo, was either looking at kind of merging with some other company, or if they're developing their own non-IP or non-licensed IP of their own that they can build off. Because they did Family Guy, they did Futurama, they did Adventures Academy. I'm sure they built up quite a bit of money doing those. But, you know, it's always more fun to work on your own property than someone else's.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Foxnet. I am very, very interesting because they're kind of like this little oasis within, like, it's like they're doing all this fun stuff that I would love Disney to be doing. I mean, you look at it and go, man, it's like Foxnet could get this right. You know, Disney could get into the publishing and be publishing indies and stuff. It's like they could do that. But Disney, then on any other week, this would be like, oh, this sounds good. I'm a bit worried. But on the same week that Bob Iger said that, it was just like, this is just so at odds with what they're with. Your future boss is not really that into this division. And so I would hope that Foxnet could be could maybe if they're really successful, could change their mind. But yeah, this is just a very odd situation.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you're, you know, in the food industry and you provide all the ice cream to, you know, the Disney restaurants and Bob Iger comes out and goes, you know, we're really not an ice cream company. You know, we're churros and turkey legs. If I was that ice cream vendor, I'd be kind of like, time to find a new client.
Yeah, when even Bob Iger is going, yeah, we're not going to sell any products made from dairy or sweet in the parks, you know. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I really like what Foxnet are doing. You know, they are being a bit adventurous. They're trying new things out, like the Alien Blackout game. They've got console game stuff. They've been working on VR titles. They're being what I would hope. You could see that 21st Century Fox were like going, we need to do this video game thing properly. We need to invest. We need to be in it. We need to be working on it. We've got IP. We can do fun things with it. And they've obviously been given a budget. And it almost feels like, is this fund just along the lines of, right, we've got this budget, but we're no point spending it on making our own games. Let's just get out a load of indie titles and use this money up, because that's the other idea I had.
I'm sorry, was there a...
Yeah, well, like, it's just that thing of, like, you've got to, it's like, if you're sitting there, are they going to be starting any major projects, or is this an easier way of, like, we've got this money spent, or money to spend, but we can't really put it into acquisitions and titles? That could be another thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly that. Their future work, they there's no way of knowing, because the acquisition's gonna kind of screw everything up.
Yeah,
so I don't know. There's a lot of variables here.
Yeah, so many variables. But we're gonna be watching. We will be I'm going to be covering everything that they put out because, you know, that's going to be a part of Disney. And, you know, we're going to be, we are covering all the stuff that the franchises cover, come under. But yeah, I'm watching it. I'm looking forward to seeing what this game is. This Aetherburn, it looks a bit weird.
It looks very weird.
But yeah, the indie titles from Foxnet could be our fourth source of Disney games for the next 6 months.
Based on their track record, that is not not hugely appealing. So we'll see. I mean, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Well, you know, their track record might have just been them learning the ropes, you know, trying to figure out the market, and now they've got some experience under their belt. It's entirely possible that their next game will be amazing. So I don't know. We'll see.
On that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. Let us know what you guys think of what Disney's doing with their video games. Let us know your thoughts. Go check us out over at DisKingdom.com. Like, follow, and subscribe on social media. You can also find us on YouTube, so give us a subscribe there or on the audio podcast. A quick note on the audio side of things. I know since we've gone to a weekly one, each episode is much more downloaded. So a big thank you to everyone that's listening on all the audio versions. James, where can they find you?
You find me heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.